We're back in our teaching again tonight, understanding grace. Hallelujah. Well, as we go on in our teaching here, we talked about what Apostle Paul dealing with Paul's thorn in the flesh, because it deals with the grace of God. And we found that God had given Paul grace, and Paul came to the realization that it's something he had. It isn't something he had to get. Lots of times, that's one of the things that we need as Christians. See, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Scripture tells us. In Ephesians, we're already blessed. So we're not trying to get blessed. What we're trying to do is find out what the blessings we have and receive them. And that's the grace of God. The blessings of God are God's grace toward man. And so it's just like salvation, even from a sinner's standpoint, God has already done everything he's going to do to save an individual. What they must do is respond to salvation. So we preach the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. And when a person hears, they can receive the grace of God. So it's about finding out information. We're looking tonight, we're going over into the areas of responding to grace, because we want to increase in grace, the in grace in our life, and it's important we do. And we're going to deal with the subject of faith, because we've talked about faith as we've gone through. We're going to go back and look at it, because there's one of the things that the subject, the Bible tells us, you know, we know this, without faith we can't please God. But also the Bible tells us that we have to walk by faith. We're supposed to live by faith. The Bible also tells us we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. And if you look at all the things the Scripture says about faith, really, there's nothing that we can do that faith's not involved in our Christian walk. And that's why we teach it, and about walking in it is walking in faith. This is walking in what we believe. One of the things, I've been meditating on some of these areas and thinking about them, and very early this morning, it was really in the early morning hours, I was awake, and some things just kept coming to me. And one of the things the Lord dealt with me about was, it kept coming up in me about the subject of faith, because I knew I was going to be teaching on that tonight. And one of the things in dealing with it kept coming up in me was the fact of dealing with fellowship and faith. Faith is really, to have faith in anything, you can't be ignorant of it. You can't, to have any kind of confidence, especially we're dealing with us with people. Faith in any person is based upon how well you know that individual. See, and this is really an important thing, is we need to know this. Many times people are just trying to just look at the word. Now, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. But the whole point of faith is so we have a fellowship with God, is the point of faith. You know, is in 1 John, it writes about people who live in sin, they're not walking in fellowship with God. In other words, not being over into fellowship with God causes real problems. Because the Bible says that, you know, Jesus said if a person isn't faithful with something small, who's going to give them their own? In other words, there's a building in faithfulness, and it's the same way with God. We must find out that God is faithful. You know, we sing songs and say about Him being faithful, you know, the Word says He's faithful, but that's nice. We can sing it and say it all we want, but do you really, how do you know He's faithful? How do you know? See, I you have to have proof, not just talk. Because because over the years, I've heard from the time I was Christian, when I went to church as a kid, they'd say, you know, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, pretty much they were faithless people, because they didn't believe in anything they didn't see, touch, taste. You know, if something didn't work, it's because God didn't want it to, and all these kind of things. So really, they didn't have much of a fellowship with God, and so they didn't see much of things happen. And, you know, the whole point of faith is for us to see God's will and plans and purpose come to pass. You know, somebody that keeps saying, well, I'm believing God for healing, but healing never shows up. Well, I mean, you can, how long are you going to be able to just keep going saying, well, you know, God's a healer and this, that? It'll just become things you say out of the top of your head more than it does in a confidence in faith. And so we need to understand how important it is in our faith life. If we're going to, the grace of God is what God has done for man, and we want to enjoy that. We want, you know, grace is of no value. It's like salvation, and nobody can get to it. You know, I was as a young kid and grew up in a church. They believed in being born again. They preached that stuff, but you know, they knew nothing about salvation by faith. They would have people, they would preach that you need Jesus, but you came to an altar and you prayed through. They used to have this pray through stuff. And people would go to the altars and they'd pray and pray and pray. But the whole thing of it is, that wasn't about, they had never, there was not a standpoint of faith. They didn't believe you could just make a confession. To believe in your heart and confess your mouth. They thought that you prayed and one day you came to a knowledge or God did something that caused you to be saved or something happened. And it's amazing. Now, see, they were doing that. Here they are in church and they're, you know, talking all this stuff. But really, they couldn't have confidence in God about salvation. How could you have confidence to get saved? You didn't know. You went to an altar and prayed and prayed. You didn't know if it was going to happen or not. You couldn't respond by faith to something unless you could see it. So you had to have an experience. You had to have an experience before you had faith. Completely different thing. It is amazing how God moved in people sometimes and did things for people where they had experiences. And it's hilarious because really God was in such mercy to people. There were so many people who got saved accidentally than more they did on purpose. Because of God being gracious to people. But you can't keep counting on that. See, those churches started dying out. They started dying out because they couldn't. God, you know, for a time will bless people. I always say when I was first got born again and I look back and I think, oh, the things God did for me. And my level of faith wasn't very much. But what he was doing, he was teaching me over time. When I would walk where I could in faith, he would do something to prove to me that, hey, you just keep walking this direction. Keep doing this stuff to keep you going there. And see, this is when it's like with people, God's no respecter of person. Everybody should be able to do that in their Christian walk. You should have levels where you walk in, where God does things for you. Many times Christians aren't even in a baby walk of faith. They're not even in a baby walk of faith. They're set themselves, they're going to believe what they see, what they feel. You know, I believe God's going to do something. And see, when we deal with grace, we need to look at the fact that we're looking at grace is already given. It's not going to be given. Grace has been given. So, what I need to find out, first I need information on the grace. What is the grace of God? What's all entailed in it? What are the things that He's blessed us with or given? Finding out what they are. You can't receive what you don't know is there. You have to find out. So once we find out what grace supplies to us, then it's an operation of faith. And we use these scriptures before in Romans 5 and verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So faith is how we got into this thing. Faith is what did it. Tells us we've been justified or we've been made righteous by faith. So in other words, our response to God's righteousness is by faith. God, and we need to get this thing. Nobody can stand before God or nobody can go to heaven unless they're made righteous. They must be justified in for God to be able to go. And so we need to come to the fact that God had to supply. In other words, if I could have faith to be saved, then God would tell me that I could be righteous. That he's already given righteousness. How could I believe to receive what has not been given? I couldn't believe I receive it. How could I believe I receive something that hasn't been given? You know, I couldn't believe that a bank's going to give me a loan and they ain't said so yet. You know, I have to know that they want to give that to me. You know, God wrote in a book the things that he says we have. Righteousness is always justification. Righteousness is by faith. Justification from God is always by faith. It's never by works. Yet people are always trying to be justified in God on the basis of works. Well, I'm doing pretty good and I've done this and I've done that. That's fine. But it's trusting, you know, you can never do enough good works to get God's righteousness. you can't pay that one off. So we got it by faith. And so it's the same way with all of the grace of God. Grace comes. We get born again. Righteousness came by grace when we got saved. You became the righteousness of God. And it says here, you have peace with God. It didn't say you have peace. It says you have peace with God. In other words, it's like Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and told them that, you know, there's no more enmity between God and man. That's gone. We're supposed to be telling the sinners God's not mad at them. That God's at peace with man. Why? Jesus Christ, took the judgment of mankind upon himself. And now man has peace with God. And that's really important because you're living in a world that there's not going to be peace. See, everybody's trying to have peace in this world. Well, get over that one. You know, throw that one out the door and save you a lot of time and trouble trying to believe for something you ain't going to have. See, everybody wants to have a natural peace in life. But the whole thing of it is, the big thing of faith is this fact. You have peace with God. God's not your enemy. God's not working against you. God's working for you. That's one of the things that you can have faith. See, when people come to you, well, God has a reason for not doing this for me. Well, hold it. He didn't tell you what it was, that he's your enemy. God and I are not at odds with one another. God and I are at peace, and same with you. God, you are at peace. If God has something is being held off, God will reveal to you why there's something you need to do. If there's something where your faith isn't hooked up or something that's causing the problem, wouldn't it be crazy if God didn't tell you? What good is grace? What good is grace if you can't get to things? It's of no value. But see, God will always show you. Why? Wow, because we're at peace with God. God is always for us. See, if God's for me, who could be against me? But yet, basically, the church, Christians live like God's against them. Like there's things that God's holding back that, you know, they have to arrive at some level before he says okay. No, he's already said it okay. The level that I'm arriving to is the place of I arrive to a greater faith to believe that he's given to me. It's not about him. It's about us. And see, faith is about us, our response to God. And that's a hugely, you know, I said there, we quoted before from Hebrews 11:1, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's not possible to please God without faith. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Think about that. The statement made by Paul, he said, if you respond to God by faith, he rewards you. That's what God says. God's a rewarder. Oh, I thought God was going to do something, and you know, for some reason not give it to me. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he said no. Does that sound like a reward? That's not a reward. See, if God's offered something of grace, well then therefore he wants to reward you with that. And get that thought in your mind about the grace of God. God wants to reward you. That's what he likes to do. God loves to bless people. That's what you know, if God didn't want to bless us, all he had to do is not send Jesus, that'd have ended the whole thing. I mean, why would he go to all the trouble to send Jesus, take away the sin of the world and all that stuff, but he's still against us? I mean, it's of no sense at all, So we need to get in our minds, when it comes to the grace of God, whatever grace God's responded, has given to us, that God wants us to enjoy that. He wants us to receive it by faith. And believe, yeah, this is what he's given to me. Too many people times say get in the natural, and you know, well, I ain't gonna say I have something unless I can see it. I'm not gonna say that. Well, you're never gonna walk by faith. So, you know, faith is over there believing that you have something. You know, I believe God loves me and I can't see him. I never personally physically touched God. Did you? Did any of you here ever? I've never had that happen. But anyhow, The whole point of it is we're believing in a God, and this is where the reward comes up. We believe that the Word of God is true and what God said is true. We're believing that. And if we believe that that's true and we receive it as true and act like it's true, then God responds and will manifest the grace to us. See, it's like the Apostle Paul, when it dawned on him, when God said to him, hold, he said, I mean, take care of this thing. And God said, hold it, my grace is sufficient. See, Paul thought he needed something more, and when God said that to him, the revelation dawned on him. He said, oh, hold it. God has given me grace. So, you know, in my weakness, that's when I'm strong. Hey, I'm good. He got the revelation. The revelation dawned on him that, hold it, God wasn't holding back. God didn't do something. Now, the church preaches God did, you know. The church preaches, you know, that God made Paul sick for a reason. The Bible says it was a demon, didn't say it made him sick. It amazes me how, let's just be honest, how stupid Christians are. And some people, they go to cemeteries to learn about this stuff, to say these dumb things. But Paul arose at the standpoint to understand. And I'm really glad Paul wrote that in there, because it's a shame the church don't preach the truth on it, because it'll help a lot of people to understand that, hold it, you know, I'm not walking in the grace God gave me. God's given me grace. The grace is there. I'm just maybe not taking a hold of that grace. I'm not acting like I have grace. I'm acting like I need to get it. There's a big difference in that. See, so many people, they're going and they're praying. They're believing God for something. See, I'm believing God for this or for that. See, now the Bible don't tell you to do that. The Bible tells you to believe you receive something. Never told you to believe for it. Believing for it means you didn't get it yet. If you're believing for it, why would you be believing for something? You know, do you ever think of the natural? You know, if I go, say if I went online to order something, when I order it, I don't run around telling people then, you know, well, I'm believing for that thing to come. I'm believing for it. No, we'll tell people, oh yeah, I got one of those. It's going to come. We talk like it's just going to show up. Comes to God. Christians will talk the opposite way all the time. They have more trust in Amazon than they do God. And then sit around and talk about God, and they talk about faith. They don't even know what faith's about. Something natural, we'll believe it's going to happen. Oh, you know what they said on, you know, they said online, they said this, or they said that, or the news media said that. Well, that's going to happen. Well, here we are. And people ran around and confessed it. Christians running around and confessed it. Trump was going to be the next president. Did it happen? But good if they listen to God. Yeah, it would have been. But, you know, see, and this is one thing is dealing with the areas of faith. What we have, especially in the word that God's given us, but also the Holy Spirit will deal with you personally about things. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit just as much as you need to listen to the word. The Spirit and the Word go together. There's no such thing as just the Word or just the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will show us, and we need to listen. I learned that as a young Christian when I heard Kenneth Hagin say this, and I really paid attention to it. When the Lord spoke to him and told him, I'm going to hold you as accountable for what I tell you to do is what's written in the book. And I really listened to that because I really see, this is one thing, I can't find into scriptures where Ed Gibson's called to be a minister. I can't find it anywhere. I've searched this thing. My name isn't written one time down in this thing. And I can't see one time it says Ed Gibson's supposed to be a minister. How do you know that? You don't know that by the written word. Now by the written word, I know God calls people to the ministry. I know that. But I can't find it for me. I need to know that. I need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not called just from the Bible. I can't say it. I can't find my name in it. Although I know from the Bible people are called to it. So I have to know God has called me. I have to know that. So you got to listen to the Spirit. All kind of things are like that. All kind of things are like that. People, you know, and this is where the word is when we fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit makes God real to us. Amen. That's his job. He takes what belonged to Jesus and reveals it. I've learned this a long time ago. You'll never really know Jesus. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. Because he doesn't know just take the word. He makes it alive. And he makes Jesus alive in your life. It's as if Jesus Christ himself is right there with you. That's what really becomes a personal thing. Where the words just, it's not words and pages. These are living words. Jesus said, my words are spirit and are life. So those things are true. So we definitely want to walk by faith. God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. If you're diligently seeking God, he's going to reward you. He said so. That's what he's going to do. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you can count on the fact you're going to get rewarded. No matter what's going on, you're after God. God's already been after you. God's on your side. He's not your enemy. And if you go after things by faith, in the middle of those times of problems and things, you know, you're trusting God. God's going to reward you. You can count on it. So that's a wonderful thing on dealing with the areas of faith and grace. So faith allows really God to release his grace to you, really to you and through you. It gets released. In other words, it's there. We can take a hold of it because in a sense, we could say like this, as grace is God reaching out to you and faith is you reaching toward God. See, we have our sides, a two side. God has his side. God's a performer. Mark 11:24, it says, speaking of, we're supposed to believe or receive, it says, then we'll have it. When we believe we receive it, then we'll have it. Our job is to believe we receive it. Our job isn't to get it. Our job is to believe, receive it. It's God's job to manifest it to you. That's his job. It's not our job. That's his job. See, you get people over and say, well, I'm believing for a man, the manifestation. Bible don't ever tell you to do that. What are you doing that for? You don't do that. You believe you receive it. It's God's job. See, when you step over to the manifestation side, now I'm God. God's the manifester of things. That's the one. We believe we receive it. He makes it happen. Hallelujah. That's what makes him God and you not. He's God. You're not. So, but you want to do that. So, we're reaching out to God through our faith. So faith is our response to grace. That's how we respond to grace of God, is through faith. That's what you do. So God's provided the resources, and by faith we reach out and take them. That's what we do. He supplied it. He supplied the grace. And so we just reach out and say, okay, yep, I'll take that. See, this is one thing, is acting always like it's true. Over the years I've found out sometimes I'd have people come to me and they get to the point there, you know, they don't know if they're saved anymore. They'll say, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know. Well, number one, the main reason that starts happening is because of their mouth and what they talk and say. Number one, they're walking around saying, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. Well, try to get your mind in line with faith, and you're walking around saying stuff like that. I found out it happens in everything. You know, you can get people in a relationship, in marriage or whatever else, and they'll turn around and start saying, I just don't love them anymore. I used to love them, but I just don't love them anymore. And they'll start saying that stuff, and then people turn around and say, well, you know, that I don't love them. I've told people to do this already. I said, for the next 30 days, don't ever say anything other than out of your mouth, but say every day, every time you think of it, I love them. I said, find out what happens. See, people walk around, they don't realize, they're creating their own world, they're creating it. They're creating the thing, doing their own thing, wondering why this ain't working. You know, I ain't ever saying I don't love Wanda. Never saying that. I don't care how crazy she makes me. I ain't saying that. She ain't going to do it. You know what? I'm always going to love her. Just that simple. I have settled that. I don't matter what goes on. I'm going to love my wife. People act like that's a requirement. Well, if you got born again, that shouldn't be a requirement. That should be something that's just the norm. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, it is normal for me to love my wife. That's the norm. If you have to do it by commandment, what you need to do is get saved. If you have to love by command, well, I'm going to tell you, you and Lucifer are in the same boat. He's having a hard time, and you're going to have a hard time with him. You're going to be rowing a boat that ain't going no place. But see, you do. This is where the things that it is. You learn to get it on your mouth. You don't change what you say about things. You know, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm saved. The devil could never come to me and convince me that I'm not saved. He could never convince me. That's too late. Because I don't believe I'm saved. I know it. See, when a Christian loses, see, when a Christian's mouth and stuff heads away from grace, doesn't talk the grace anymore, but talks the junk, and it starts into that area, and after a while, they lose contact with their inner man. You cannot walk in grace without contact with the Holy Spirit. You ain't gonna do it. You can't just be, well, out of word. It's like people come along today and say, how do you know you're saved? Well, the Bible says this. Hey, I started there, but I'm not there anymore. That's right. I know I'm saved because I have the witness in me. The Holy Spirit's in me, and I have the witness in me that I'm a child of God. I know that I'm a child of God. I know I am passed from death unto life. I know it. Amen. Hallelujah. It ain't words no more. It started off as words. Faith starts off as words. Hallelujah. But it ends up to the knowing. And see, the majority of Christians are walking around, and they're only saved by word. They're just some word things. And they're still saying the word things, and they're not talking about what they know. See, I mean, the real life comes of faith. See, there's a manifestation. It's like walking around all the time confessing what the Word says about healing, and you do it for 30, 40 years, and it never comes. Well, after a while, you're going to quit. you're just going to throw the towel in. See, there must be manifestations. When the manifestation comes, I'm no longer trying to believe anything. Now I know. Right. See, when you believe God for healing and the healing comes, you're no longer believing God for healing. You know it. You know you're healed. Well, see, the things, it's a grace of God is always in the same manner of everything. It comes to the knowing part. Hallelujah. is getting into yourself. You know, and see, you'll gain confidence over time as God reveals himself, as he manifests the things we stand for and we believe, that over time you gain confidence in God, where your confidence really is in him. Will just it makes your faith grow and grow. See, the more confident you are in him, the more your faith is going to abound toward him. If your faith isn't growing and you don't have confidence, usually it's because you're not experiencing God at all. You're not having any personal contact with him. You need to maintain that all the time. This is one thing, as I learned, I really watched over these last couple of years, and a lot of Christians started having problems in that stuff. Well, they're more concentrated on what's going on, the problems, things happening and stuff, and they lose that fellowship with God. And I thought, now, when you're in times of trouble, that's the time when you spend the time fellowship. That ain't the time to spend looking at all the problems. That's the time to spend in fellowship with God, because you want to keep your confidence in him strong. Amen. Confidence in him. Hallelujah. That the good work that he started in you, he's bringing it to completion. Hallelujah. See, I might look flaky, but God's working on me. Hallelujah. Let me alone. Hallelujah. And he's going to finish it. He said he would. If he don't, he's a liar. You know, he ain't lying. Hallelujah. So keep yourself, you know, toward God. Stay in that area of fellowship. Because the more you do, the more God can do for you and through you. And that's really an important part. So really, our faith is a natural response to God's grace. Should be a natural response. That should be natural. Grace should lead naturally. The response to trust. In a natural, if anybody's really gracious to you, isn't it natural? You don't in opposition to them? You know, it's grace just leads to that. So if God is gracious, then it will lead you to the natural response to trust. Faith is, the more faith you have, the more confidence you have in him. Faith will take effect in your life. Won't take effect in your life till you respond to it by faith. It won't take effect. You got to respond to it by faith. Even though you're there, you say, well, the Bible says this. And people sometimes say, well, why don't I have that? Well, when are you going to receive it? See, people want to have it without receiving it. They want to have it without operating in the areas of faith. It's like the Apostle Paul wrote concerning grace. He said, grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. He says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. We talked about this here before. That word sincerity there is really, it's two words that were used in the Greek there that are made, they make them one word. We translate sincerity. And the first part of that word, if you broke it down, that was written in is the word, out of the word sincerity is the word sin, which really means without. That word means without in the Greek. And the last part of that means, was a term that was used in the making of pottery. And the idea of that is, was used without wax. Now that's really seems strange, don't you? I mean, without wax, what does that have to do with doing here? Was this because in the making of pottery, quality pottery, you know, what they had to do to make it, they had certain processes. Like today, they'll take something that, did you ever buy a product years ago and was really good and that stuff, and so they cheapen it over the time, you know, to make it, and after a while the quality's not as good. Well, that's with pottery. They would take pottery, and when they would fire it, they'd use wax in it. And what happens is the wax will cause the pottery to have a nice baked finish on the outside, but it's cheaper on the inside. So what happens, it was more flawed, it wouldn't hold up as well in its usage. But they could make it quickly and cheap that way. They could fire pottery much quicker and that kind of stuff. And so what it is without wax, in other words, the quality was poor. So there was something that looked good on the outside, but was not good on the inside. So Paul's writing these people, and he says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. Grace be to everybody whose inside looks good. He didn't say their outside. He said their inside. In other words, the ones who are sincere, the ones who they aren't faulty on the inside. They don't just look good on the outside, they look good on the inside. See, so Paul didn't say grace to everybody. Paul's writing to Christian. He didn't say grace to every Christian. Did you think about that? He didn't say grace to every Christian. He says the ones who love God with sincerity. Grace to you. And so, really, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, was imparting grace to the ones who love God. And these ones who love God, really, from their hearts, it wasn't just an outward Christianity, it was just an outward show. See, we can do that. You can't always know. A person can really put on a good show on the outside. Can do a real good thing. Here's Jesus in Matthew 23, where Jesus is dealing with people who have a problem on the inside and look good on the outside. Jesus in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in verse 27, he says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." This is what man needs change. This is why man needs born again. People need born again. Don't matter how good a person's conduct is on the outside. We have today, many people think about people being a Christian who have never been born again, but they're a pretty nice person. They're a pretty good person in the outward. But inside, it's not what they are. And so Jesus made mention here about that with these folks. So Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for looking righteous on the outside, but on the inside, they were flawed. And so we need to understand this. This is one of the things about the flawed person. The flawed Christian is not going to have much of a faith life. And he can't. It's impossible. Because faith comes from the inside. Comes from the heart. Faith of the heart. And if a person's heart isn't good, if a person doesn't walk right or live right or do things right, that person's going to have a problem. You're not going to be able to produce faith. You can't walk around and be a hypocrite and whatever else. And your faith were good. See, today in the Christian world, there's a lot of hypocrisy. And a hypocrite is a hypocrite's an actor. That's what that word comes from, is an actor. A person who plays the part of somebody else. That was a hypocrite. In fact, years ago, that's what they called actors, were hypocrites. Today, we use the term, in effect, as somebody who plays a part. In other words, who is not we don't talk about it from a good sense. It's talking about a person who's trying to act a certain way that they're not. And so this is what this is dealing with here, being a hypocrite, is the fact of a hypocrite on the inside is not, they can't produce the things of God. They're not going to. It's all outward show. Then you look at some people, you see, this is another thing people have a hard time, because sometimes you look at some people on the outside, you think, boy, they could be a whole lot better, but you know they have a better heart than a lot of the people. They have a much better heart, a heart toward things, than the individuals who are running around. Because I'll tell you, there's a lot of religiousness and a lot of religious spirits. People get real religious about stuff. They know the acts of the things that you do to be really religious and, living a real strict, some kind of life that is really strict and don't touch, don't taste and all this kind of stuff and do it. Because people get over there and do that stuff are usually not good people on the inside, because they have self-righteousness and they always look at the fact that I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than somebody else. I'm better than that person. I would never do what they do. I would do worse. Because they really do. They don't realize what they're doing is actually worse. If we live a godly life, it's because of grace. Grace changed my life. It wasn't the law. I tried the law. I tried to do right, don't do this, don't do that. That went over like a lead balloon, man. That didn't go at all. It didn't work. We tried, We tried to, turn over a new leaf in life. And how could you? You only had one book that you had, and that one there was a bad one with all bad leaves in it. So I just you didn't have nothing else to turn it to. But see, God changed us on the inside. Isn't that amazing? See, God gave us... See, we couldn't be changed on the outside, but because God changed us on the inside, we can change the outside. Religion always works the opposite way. It always tries to deal with the outside to become something on the inside. It doesn't work that way. This is why we need God, because only God could change the guy on the inside. Praise God. We responded by faith to God, and that was enough. Now here's a scripture we know very well. The Bible says, and we want to look at this, it says Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's a very familiar scripture. But here we find that God's throne is called the throne of grace. And we're supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's very interesting about this. Because, see, people think coming boldly, it means, you know, the idea that we would come to God, come confidently and that stuff, which is good. This boldly means confidently to the grace of God. But that word boldly there, actually, its meaning is the fact of being really fearless in speaking. Fearless. See, we're supposed to make confessions of faith. And see, I thank God, I learned this a long time ago. This is what I have, because I would say things that would be, is number one, faith, which is speaking, comes before doing. Many people, this is they're trying to put the opposite way. People will listen to somebody teach something and they'll try to do what they did, but they don't do the faith part, doing it, and they won't get the outcome. It was like, God had me giving testimonies on Sunday about things, how God worked. First of all, it came by what I said. See, speaking boldly or saying something boldly, the speaking the boldly. See, boldly saying, God will heal me. Not, I'm believing God for healing. Well, there ain't no boldness in that. Say, no, I believe God gave it to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And boldly saying it to say, well, God said he would. And see, I listen to people do this stuff all the time. They never talk bold. That's why the throne of grace don't work. The throne of grace is a place we go with boldness. You go in there with boldness. If you need mercy, God, you're going to give me mercy. God, I messed up, but you said if I confess my sin, you'd be faithful and just. We need to be bold in that, or you'll spend the next, 5 months whining about, oh, I did this wrong, and I did that. I know God forgave me, but that whining voice, instead of being bold and saying, I asked God to forgive me, and he did. Hallelujah. The word says he forgave me. Praise God. It's true. I'm forgiven. Say, well, I don't feel forgiven. What on earth does that have to do with anything? Ain't nothing. There's nothing worse than anybody who lives by their feelings. There ain't a worse way to live. There ain't a more demonic, crazy way to live. Feelings are the most fickle thing you'll ever have in your life. Feelings, you can't count on them at all. You're feeling real good and the truck runs over you. Oh, I didn't look to see what was coming. It's like, feelings. That's an awful way to live. How I feel. That's right. See, it's getting over and living in the area. Praise God. Is confessing. The Bible said, God said this, therefore God will do that for me. Amen. God will do that for me. See, I learned over the years to do that. I had good teaching from Kenneth Hagin from the time I was born again. Is getting over the areas of learning to speak bold about God. When I've learned this, and you guys have heard me talk about it. When I pray or I talk to God, I don't talk like some wimp to God or something. Oh, God, I'll tell God, you said such and such. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to do that, ain't you? Or do we throw this out? Well, what I'm doing. See, God likes you to talk like you're. Hey, he's going to have to do this. This guy ain't going to let me alone till I do it. He loves that kind of talk. See, people don't do that. They go to God and they think it's spiritual to be a bit of a whiner and oh boy, like I say. No, you come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, you said I'd come here, I'd get grace. I need help in this area. This Lord, here's what I need. So I believe I come to your throne and you're giving that to me. Mm-hmm. And he's going, wow! I got somebody I can do something for. Having that boldness that when you come to God, you take God's word. Be bold with God's word. It's just like salvation, getting born again. I've watched the things where salvation, especially, I've seen this even in evangelists. The more bold an evangelist is to preach that people will get saved, the more people respond and the more people will turn around to get saved. The more he's bold about it. If you get everybody, just come to Jesus, just come up here, he loves you. Say, no, get up here, he'll save you, he'll deliver you, whatever problem you have. See, I learned this, Kenneth Hagin, I heard him preach, and he, in his tapes, I'd listen to him and that stuff, and he talked about, God's deliverance. So I had this stupid idea that, that if I got saved, I was going to get delivered. See, we don't preach deliverance anymore. We preach get saved and live like hell, can't make it. The devil still runs your life like crazy. I mean, no, God's going to do so. God saves you. He delivers you from sin. That's what the Bible says. We're delivered from the power of darkness. No, he leaves three or four devils in there to torment you. See, getting those at the end. See, talk boldly. Talk boldly. Tell people boldly. If they'll call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. This is no kind of thing that maybe God will save you. Because, I've ran into people, they thought they were too bad to get saved. I said, man, you ain't even reached that mark yet. I said, you have more confidence in what you do bad than God to save. And I said, you think you were bad? You ain't even run into anybody bad yet. So you're full of arrogance about your bad. Hallelujah. God's salvation is big, and him to save you don't take nothing. Say, and you're too late because he already did. What a terrible thing that people end up in hell and find out that God already took their sin. Already forgave them of everything they did. All they had to do was receive it, and they never received it. And they were told by the church, you got to ask God to forgive your sin. That's they say the sinner. I ain't the sinner God forgive. I didn't have to tell God to forgive my sin. I could have never remembered all the sin I did. My God, I'd be still here today unsaved trying to remember everything I did. I could sin more in a week. people do the craziest, they call it the craziest thing, is because they're not bold about God's goodness, God's grace toward mankind. Speak boldly of what God will do. The bolder you are, especially with yourself, you got to speak boldly if you want to be bold. You'll never become bold listening to others talk bold. You'll never become bold. You become bold. We listen to sometimes other people, we think, oh man, that's really good. As I heard Kenneth Hagin say this, and this is, not many years before he went on to be a Jesus, he made this statement. He said, I wish I was bolder. I'd have been bolder. He said he admired Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall was bold. My God, that man was bold. Whew. He'd speak the truth in love, but he can make a lot of people nervous. But he'd speak in love. But I'll tell you, God would move. God would move. Man, that man, God would move. Devils ran and got out of his way. They didn't stay around. he was really bold. He was very bold about God. And see, we need to get all this thing. We have too much of Christianity today. It's just nice talk. It's nice things. It's being nice people. And we're just being nice stuff. But we need to get bold about what God will do is tell people, God will deliver you. God will heal you. He'll do it. Tell a person, hey, getting healed ain't no big deal. See, we make it like a big complicated thing. It ain't a complicated thing at all. So then God's nature to heal was given by grace. Healing already came by grace. It was given to us by grace. All I got to do is believe I receive it. And so if, I always think about, Wanda and I, we support Christopher Lahm, and we always get his monthly things. He sends out the places where he ministers, and he has all these things of, whether it's in Africa or Asia, or sometimes like he's been in some of the Middle Eastern countries and stuff, and he ministers, and all the people that get healed and delivered. And you think about these things. This is what God's out there doing among the sinners. He's out there in the sinners. Now, if a sinner he'll do all this for, would you do less for your kid than you would the neighbor? Well, most of Christianity believes that's so. God brought you in the kingdom because he loved you, but now you're a second-class citizen. Now, who he really likes is a guy out there somewhere. And most churches live like that. Most churches will turn around, and if a guy outside there, they'll chase him to feed him and do everything else, and they won't do that for the people sitting in their own pews.
Yep. Amen.
They're lousy, lousy Christians. Lousy Christians. The Word talks about a guy who doesn't take care of his own family. He's worse than an unbeliever. I'll tell you, a lot of churches are worse than the unbelievers. They're crazy. They go around and chase everybody else but their own family. Weird thing. But see, we lost the family in Christianity. We've lost that. We've lost that thing when everybody became, it's just me and Jesus. We lost that. And through losing those things, we've lost a lot of grace being able to be available to us through those things. We're trying to buy people into the kingdom. If we can just give you enough good stuff, then you'll come. There's one church down in Texas. There's a mega church down in Texas. They actually give, like, they have their own lottery tickets that they give away. And you come into church on Sunday. They give TVs away. They give all kinds of different things away. You bring your ticket and the people go out, hang, invite you to church and bring you, give you a ticket. And then you come to church and they, to win prizes. They say, man, we got 20,000 people. Man, that ain't nothing. The lottery, you know, 20,000 people, but my words, I mean, that's not no big thing, big deal. It's easy to get crowds when you give people something free. I mean, that is a nothing. No. They even had one time, on and off, they'll give away a car or something, you know, that they'll do this thing. Get enough tickets out there to get around. We're doing these things. Working for Jesus. But speaking of boldness, we want to look at something in the scripture about that in Acts, the fourth chapter, about speaking boldly, to see in the beginning of Acts what these disciples wanted, what they wanted to happen. In Acts, the fourth chapter, like in Acts, the fourth chapter, we look here in an instant. This is when Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin, and because of their preaching the gospel, and a man got healed. Remember the man at Gate Beautiful? That happened, and they got in all kind of trouble because of doing that. Well, now, they were let go, and it says here in Acts 4, chapter verse 29, they got together and they were praying, and he said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." What? "With all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." So see what the believer, what did the believers want? They wanted boldness to speak. Boldness to say. See, boldness has a whole lot to do with the move of God. The more confident people are, the more confident people become of the word, become less timid about the word. See, many of the times that we have this, we'll have people, you know, people get in trouble, and whether maybe where you work at or something like that, and somebody might know you're a Christian, and they come, and they want you, "Well, pray for me." But you know what? We won't say a thing about the word to them. "Well, yeah, we're just going to pray for you." And do you ever notice not much of anything ever happens, mostly with that? They never enter on one Jesus, because you haven't told them anything about Jesus. When you pray, even if they got blessed, they don't know how I got well now, and so I just go back to my own life. Got to be bold about the word. See, I learned to talk to people about that. They'd say, "Hey, well, you want me to pray for you? What do you want me to pray? You want to pray me to die, or you die, or what? What do you want?" Say, "What do you want?" Say, "What does the Bible say about that? What do you think God will do that for you?" See, get a door open to talk to them about something. Just talk about the word. See, you want to bring confidence in that person. If you want to let them know that if they got well, it wasn't the doctor. No, they don't know where it came from. We're just doing our thing, you know, our religious thing is the word. See, they wanted boldness to speak the word. Hallelujah. They wanted God to stretch forth his hand. Well, for him to stretch, they're going to have to get bold about their speaking, so he'll stretch forth his hand. See, most people, "God, you stretch forth your hand, then I'll get bold." We'll get real bold if you do something. Then, see, when you do something, then we'll believe what we see. Then I'll be faith man. I'll put on the faith suit, you know, have the F on my chest. Faith man. Hallelujah. So boldness and confidence to speak the word of God. So that's something really that we need. And we can see they prayed for boldness. So that's something. If they can pray for boldness, we can pray for boldness. We can pray for that too. Pray to be bold. And that's one thing. It's like, you know, it's one thing I'll say for the, what are they called? The Jehovah's Witnesses. They're bold. They'll go around, go to somebody. They want to give you their stuff. They want to do their stuff. They ain't ashamed of it. They're bold. But, Christians, I'm really amazed because, Christians, when I first started with Christians, somebody tried to hand me a book one time on Jehovah Witnesses to read to be able to, I need to gain knowledge about the Jehovah Witnesses so I could, if I ran into them, knew what to talk to. I said, man, I know the Bible. You don't learn about another, you don't learn about how to talk to people reading about their stuff. I like what Billy Graham had a really good illustration. In his book, Approaching Hoofbeats, he had in there, he said he was over in England ministering, and they took him to Scotland Yard, they took him in through, and they gave him a tour of the main offices of Scotland Yard in London, and he went around, and he said they took him down to where the areas where they deal with counterfeit money and stuff and things like that. And he asked him, he said, how do you guys, learn about counterfeit money? Do you get different counterfeit money and study about what they do? And they say, no, we study the real thing. You study the real thing, and he said, then you know when you see a counterfeit. Yep. When a Christian doesn't know what to say to a Jehovah's Witness, it's because they don't know the Bible. First Jehovah's Witness I ever read in. I was only born again a few months, and Jehovah's Witness knocked on the door. And I knew things about the Bible, and they didn't. This guy, he's in there talking, and he made some statement. He kept trying to get me to say, what is this one? He read this one scripture from Revelation. Pulled one scripture out, and it didn't even really make sense by itself. And what do you think this means and this and that? And I said, well, look, I said, number one, you showed up at my door with this thing. I said, you tell me what you believe it means. You're the guy showing up with the thing. And so he said what he said what it means. I said, okay, just a minute. I said, I'll get my Bible. And then you could tell he was nervous. I got my Bible, and I said, now let's read that scripture in its context. And I read it to him, and I said, I didn't say at all what you said. He said, what's wrong with you is you don't listen. I said, no, one thing is wrong with you. You're a liar. I said, you came and knocked on my door to tell me something. And I said, you lied to me. I didn't lie to you. I didn't go out the street and get you. I said, you came here and told me that scripture means that. And I proved to you it don't. I said, you're mad at me. I said, if anybody ought to be mad in the crowd, it ought to be me. And he said, well, I know that you're not going to listen. I said, yipper, you're right. We're not listening to lies, but you ought to be listening. And he left and never came back, because if they know, you know the Bible. Next time I ever had two Jehovah's Witnesses show up, it was two ladies. And they said they come and they had a lot of them go through their spiel. You like, let them go through their spiel? Then I just get the Bible, I pull some scriptures to them, I showed them, I asked them a question, I said, do you believe God lives in you? Well, God can't live in a person. Oh, I said, look what this scripture says. We're temples of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God lives in us. They two looked at each other and they're like, oh, I said, I'll show you some more. I took them out and showed them scriptures, and they sit there, they said, I said, you never heard that, did you? I said, because you knock on people's door and you have a Bible, but you don't believe it. You never even read it. You don't even know what's in it. I said, they give you books, and those books, they're books you read. I said, you don't know what the Bible says. They said, well, we're going to have to talk with our teachers about this. I said, well, they're going to lie to you, because they're going to tell you not to look at the book. I said, I just showed you from the book you said you believed in, and you lied. You didn't believe the book. You don't even know what the book says. You tell me. I said, knock on people's door and tell them you believe the book. You don't believe the book. I said, the book says a believer has the Spirit of God in him. You said you don't. So you don't belong to God. Well, we're going to have to talk, and we'll get back with you. I laughed. But they weren't ever coming. I knew they wouldn't come back. I knew they ain't coming back, because they're going to get to there and say, this guy gave us the scriptures. Like I say, well, I don't know. No, that was probably done away with. That was somebody else. See, I have never read a Jehovah's Witness book, but I've done read the Bible. Know your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, you can't witness to people. You can't. How are you going to, if you don't know? You got to know your Bible. There's no other way to do this thing. Know the Bible and the Holy Ghost, and you'll go places. Because, I never sit around trying to think of something to memorize to say to people when they come. I always say, these people say, we're going to teach you how to witness. We're going to go to have a classes on how to witness to people. You can't witness to people like they're cookie cutter cutouts. You don't know what situation people are in. You got to rely on the Holy Spirit. God will witness things to you to say to people, and things might not, next time you go, that isn't what you'd say at all to them. But God will witness things in you that person, how God knows how to touch a man's heart. He knows what to do to touch somebody. We don't. And we want these cookie cutter classes where you go to and you go through these things and you go out and you say, and you get people to pray a prayer they don't even believe in. And they go unchanged lives. Yep. Nothing ever happens to them. And they just go on to live just like they always did, never following Jesus. Saying, I'm a Christian, I prayed the prayer. Made the worst child of hell. Remember Jesus said that to the Pharisees? Mm-hmm. Said, you go out, you make worse children of hell. You see, we need to go over this. This is why this stuff is so important about the Word of God and being bold about the Word, because the power of God's in His Word. God's power is moved by the Word. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with it. Glory to God and demonstrate the power of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit and the Word are one together. Boldness to speak the Word. They prayed for it. Hallelujah. And God responded and said, so it takes boldness and confidence to speak the Word of God. So that's something. Signs and wonders and the boldness of the Word are tied together. So we can look at the fact, grace moves by the boldness that we have. The more grace, even our personal prayer lives, the more bold we are, the more bold we are to speak about the goodness of God toward us in our own lives. Be bold about that. You're not going to be bold to other people when you're not confident about yourself. You're not got confident that God will do for you. Hallelujah. Be bold about what God will do for you. You know, I've told people many times, people say, you know, say, oh, something to me about something. I'd say, well, you know, this is what the Bible says. I believe it. Just hide and watch. I'll have it. Just hide and watch. See, I'm bold to say it. The Word will, God will do it for me. See, he's waiting for somebody. Well, I'm praying and believing. Well, forget it. It ain't happening. You know, you're just going to keep praying. Why are you praying for something you believe you already got? What are you praying for something you believe you received? Why would you be praying for it? I believe I got it, but I'm still praying. See, we have these religious sayings that we're put out that sound spiritual, but they're nothing but unbelief that stops grace from working. See, we want to get it. We want to stay away from it. We don't want to go to that place there. Stay away from that place. Boldness about the Word. What God says in His Word, if He will do it for anybody, He'll do it for me. Amen. Say that about yourself. God will heal anybody, He'll heal me. God will deliver anybody, He'll deliver me. See, why? Because He chose to do that. That's what He's chosen to do. He's already decided that. We're not trying to get it. He already decided. Hallelujah. He already decided He liked you. He already decided before you were even born in the earth, He wasn't going to be your enemy. Before you got saved, He wasn't your enemy. We were His enemy. See, that's why Paul said we tell people to be reconciled to God. Why? Because God's already reconciled to me. It's about me reconciling myself to Him, saying, okay, God, I give up. I'm going to be friends with you. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. I'm accepting your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm friends with you now, God. See, that's what we're doing. We're reconciling ourselves to God. That's what we're telling people to do. We're always telling, God ain't you. You know, like, I grew up in church. I thought God was mad at all the Christians. You know, oh, God sees everything you do. He's marking it down. I thought, dear Lord, He better have a big pencil because He's got a lot to write out. He's got, dear God. I always wanted to see that file cabinet He had on me. Dear Lord. Heaven's got to be a big place. And just think about your file cabinet. But I'm serious. Think about it. But see, people get these ideas and they're told this stuff. Like God wants to remember sin. Like God wants to, you know, He just wants to find fault. And that's not His nature. His nature is to forgive. See, we have to see it's His nature. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't even like to pour out His judgment on the wicked. He don't like to do it. Can you imagine? The book of Revelation isn't God excited about He gets to blow people up and do things. It's the outcome of man in sin who's a mess, and God is left at the point He has to deal with them. Because He's been merciful for 2,000 years and they haven't responded. Can you imagine mercy 2,000 years? Ay, ay, ay. He's a merciful. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. We can please God. Just think, when you act in faith, you can please God. Hallelujah. Well, we'll close on that one there. Hallelujah. We can please God, but see, always be able to see, I can act in faith toward God. See yourself. Don't talk about yourself as being faithless. Talk about yourself, your faith. I can trust. It's natural for, it is the natural inclination of a Christian to walk by faith. It's natural. It's our nature. We're born of God. It's natural to trust Him. It's unnatural not to. But see, what you say to yourself and what you think about it is really what determines how things are. See, it's natural. Your natural inclination is, I trust God. And always talk about yourself in that manner. It's natural for me to trust God. It's not natural for me to be in unbelief. That's not natural. Because it's not. It's not the nature of a Christian. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Father, because your word is so good. And Father God, your word brings confidence to us. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for all your goodness and mercy and kindness that you reveal to us, hallelujah, through your word. We thank you, Father God, that we can always, always count on you. Lord God, Lord, you're easy to trust. You're absolutely easy, Lord God, to respond to. Lord God, because we don't ever have to be afraid of you. You're not out to get us. You're the one who delivered us. You're the one who took us from darkness and brought us to light. So we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, when we miss it, you're the one that's always calling us to repentance. You're always calling us, come on back to fellowship. Come on back. Hallelujah. Come back and walk with me. And so we thank you, Father God. Father, we can expect wonderful and glorious things, that your grace being poured out in abundance constantly toward us in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, when we see in the word your goodness toward us, we're quick to take a hold of it and say, that belongs to me, that's mine. Hallelujah. And Father God, you're so quick to respond, hallelujah, to manifest those things so people can see how good you are. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.